finally, monsieur, a wafer thin mint. Oh, sir, it's only a tiny little thin one.
Now, fuck off, I'm full.
Oh, sir.
It's only a wafer thin.
Well, I couldn't eat another thing. I'm absolutely stuffed. Bugger horse.
Just one.
Just one.
Just the one, monsieur. Voila. Bon appétit.
Got a thing about you, I just can't live without you. I really want you ever know near me. Your looks intoxicate me, even though your folks hate me. There's no one like you ever know really.
And welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
I am Hi.
And you're welcome.
Oh, thank fuck you. Both of you again. Why do you keep doing this to me? But more importantly, we have another member of the team here who is in my heart an honorary member of Tom's. He's in my headphones every week, or nowadays every month, due to like their changing schedule. But I'm alright with it. I'll live with it. Right? And we have Matthew Price from Mammo here. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Here's what I love about that intro you just gave me. Thank you for that very nice intro. You said something about I'm like an honorary member of Tump, or I'm like a part of Tump. I've never heard an episode. So I really appreciate you guys, you carry me around with you. I'm oblivious to whatever's been going on, but that's still good.
You're brought really into this episode, into these shows a lot, right?
Well, good. That's good.
Yes.
I'm doing great. How is everything there? What we were talking about time differences before the show started.
Yes.
That harms us.
So here's I will ask this because this is what people ask when they're from Canada. What is the weather like there?
It's compared really to where hot. I am? Yeah. It's unbearably hot.
Has it been like gross hot? Like not going outside?
And kind of humid. That's not good. Not fun.
Yeah.
So Matt, don't listen to this.
They're so wrong. It is spectacular. We live in the tropics.
As a Canadian, that's what I like to ask. All Canadians want to know.
We live in the tropics, so the weather is perfect.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, the rain fell today, and I'm fully in, like, sweatshirts, sweatpants. Like, I'm cold. Right?
Oh, okay. Well, there
like,
you go.
Most Jamaicans are cold tonight.
All the time.
Right?
Is that right?
These two don't count. They are hot all of the time. They need to be air conditioned at all times.
Yes, please.
That's why I have a job, so that I can sit in the AC all day.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I don't think I could afford it.
Right. But for the next 99% of the country and all the tourists that come here, it's pretty good. The weather here, it's been outstanding. It's rained 4 days this year or something like that.
Oh, that's not bad.
And outside of that, it's been brilliant sunshine.
We have the early effects of global warming. It is flooded here, and all of our beaches are closed our public beaches, because the water is very high. So we're the distant early warning system on the fact that the planet has gone to shit.
Yeah. Have we ever closed all our beaches?
I don't think I've ever seen a closed beach.
I mean, I'm sure they've been closed for murder before.
I did see a picture.
No, not all of them.
I did see a picture my friend took like 10 years before and after of Hellshire Beach. Mm-hmm. And you just see it moving further back. But never seen it closed.
Yeah. There was a hurricane and some people who were staying in Harborview took advantage of the big waves. And we saw them, and of course they're white people. Like, we saw them, and like, oh look, white, because we saw them go out there, like, what are these lunatics doing? And they were fully riding waves. And when they came back in, we were like, you guys are lunatics, right? And they're like, no, we do this all over the world. These waves are small. Like, oh, you are lunatics. All right, great.
So they are lunatics.
Yeah, yeah, that's great news. They are lunatics.
We're all lunatics.
Yep.
Well, I'm not. But yeah, I mean, the weather here is spectacular. It's so good. So good. Oh my God. I've been to the beach every day for the 2 weeks that I've
been unemployed.
Been unemployed.
How's it going?
It's, I'm bored. I'm bored of it. I don't like
it. I told you, a month tops. You can't do more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I'm way ahead of schedule with like yard work. And so in like a week I'll be done, and then I don't know what to do with myself. But yeah, it's fun. You know what's not?
You can only clean your own bathroom so many times.
That's true.
And then eventually you're like, well, I got to get a job.
True. You know what's not fun, Andrew?
What's that?
People picking movies.
We're about to talk about that. Uh-huh. Because this week we're going to be talking about the French horror film entitled Raw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Not Eddie Murphy's.
Damn it.
Not Eddie Murphy's. We didn't talk about Eddie Murphy's Raw. We did that years ago.
So close.
You guys laugh, but I was on another podcast, which I won't mention by name, but I was on another podcast and I was asked to watch The Manchurian Candidate, and one of the participants had watched the Denzel Washington one.
Oh no, we've done that here before.
Like, actually assigned themselves the wrong version of the movie, and they were like, well, now we can't talk about it.
So, forever ago, I remember one specifically. Damien asked us to talk about Lolita.
Yes.
And he didn't specify.
Yes. Yeah.
So when I saw Lolita, I went, oh, so he wants us to talk about the Kubrick film. Mm-hmm. Right? We sit down. We spend all this time watching the Kubrick film. We finally sit down together. And Damien's like, so, that Jeremy Irons.
Right. And these two are just like, Damien, you stupid idiot. Why would you watch the... Why wouldn't you watch the Kubrick one? Because that movie is bad, and I like Jeremy Irons. Was my explanation, and they are fairly certain they kicked me off the podcast.
It was a fun episode, that one. I don't remember what we did with it, but we didn't talk about Lolita.
No,
I remember
we
that. But we're going to talk about Raw.
Okay, yes. But so to be clear, we all watched Eddie Murphy's Raw. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Good.
I've seen that many times. Can we talk about that instead? So in this film, a 16-year-old young girl heads off to veterinarian school.
That's a real thing?
It is, right?
Sounds made up.
She's a vegetarian.
Is she 16? That seems young, because she's off to university, right?
She's a prodigy.
Is she 16?
Yes, that's
oh, that's what
age.
It is. Okay.
That's how everyone is going around and going like, we expect so much from you, right?
Oh, I didn't catch that from the movie, even the second time I watched it.
Yeah. And she then becomes a cannibal. I don't know how else to put that in the plot.
Does she become a cannibal? Or was she always a cannibal?
Exactly.
This is the question.
It's not a choice, Andrew. You're born a cannibal.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
She discovers her inner cannibalism. But I don't know that she becomes. It's not a lifestyle choice, Andrew.
But what's most important to me,
Cannibal Rex,
bringing this movie to this podcast, is I needed to have someone on this podcast who I've slept with before. That's Matt Price.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
we did?
Yeah. I was in
the
theater.
You must have been very gentle, because I don't remember.
We were in the theater together, and I know
oh,
I
right.
slept. So you were there beside me.
Matt was on the
yeah,
right,
fair.
I was on the
that's
left. And
that has happened.
Yeah.
Well, look, Midnight. We saw this film at Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
Did we see this movie together at Midnight Madness?
Yeah, we did.
You saw it.
We did.
I was
okay.
asleep.
Yeah, right. Okay. And I it was one of the movies that I stayed awake for at Midnight Madness. But there is no shame, and you're going. You know, Toronto Film Festival's a rough go and it's like a long day. And
this was pub night. That was the fun.
Often the Midnight Madness movie is the one where I might catch a little, you know, a little rest there if it's not going well. In this case, I think you just were overcome with tiredness. So, because the movie's good. But
that I'm alcohol.
Yeah, a fair amount of that. And usually you're pretty good with that. But you might have, you know, outdone yourself.
Maybe. I'll find out next time I try.
Yeah.
But, Matt, how does this movie play for you? Are you pro-cannibalism?
I'm very pro this movie, for sure, which I think is a very clever way of, you know, like there's a central metaphor around this idea of her being a cannibal that I think is really interesting. And this, you know, what I think what this movie has going for it is that it sort of nicely expands on itself as you go through it. Does that make sense? Like it keeps amplifying its own idea in a way that's like really entertaining. I wouldn't call it particularly, it's sort of marketed as a horror film. I don't really think it's not really a horror film. It's more like it's more like a sort of David Lynch type of like approach to the problem, right?
Yeah, I don't think I'd call it an out-and-out horror film in that it's not attempting to frighten us in any way. It's not.
No, it has like it has gore in it, but it's more. It's like it reminded me more of like alternative cinema than horror, if that makes sense.
It was a movie that made you think about not just the strict idea of any sort of horror trope of cannibalism or whatever, or body horror or anything going on with that, but a movie that made you think about just. Growth of humanity of who she is and what and this change that's ignited in her and how we kind of view her at the end as opposed to just being this young girl at the beginning that is heading off to school a time when everybody supposedly has a lot of change in them happening.
Yeah, my friend of mine said that it was that what it's looking at is really this idea of hazing and sort of social pressure to change people, but I'm actually not sure that I necessarily agree with that. Like, I don't think I think she's rebelling by going further than they want her to.
I was actually concerned by the hazing. Like, when I watch those things, I sit there and I'm like, there must be some schools that in some version do shit like this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But in my head, I'm like, how do people put up with this shit? The first time when people surprise you, you're like, well, I guess I have to fix this eventually, but... Like,
night two.
Yeah.
Ozinda's yeah. Not, like, just stabbing after stabbing. I don't get it.
I see someone come to me and be like, you must look down and call me. I'm like, no, fucker. Just go and walk your way and leave me alone.
Dog, you know what tuition costs? Listen. To kill all of you. Go back to sleep.
But Damien,
but that's what it's got going for it. The people, the hazing is so gross, and the other people are so gross that when she starts eating people, you're like, yeah,
eat them,
get it, yeah. You know, that's the gore is like you're cheering along with it. Like there's a moment. I don't want to ruin the whole thing. But there's like a moment in the movie where she eats somebody's accidentally chopped off finger before they can get her to the hospital to put it back on. And I remember being like, that's right, that's what you get.
Damien,
yeah.
A few weeks back we talked about Get Out.
Yep.
And we mentioned your proclivity to horror.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
uh-huh. And also
you really love
your,
it, Damien.
Also, so much. Also your weird feelings where you're like, maybe you might be turning. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe. Yes. Right? We haven't gotten you to the point where you can officially claim anything, but you're concerned for your feelings that they're changing, which isn't about you. You're not a person of change.
I oppose change in all forms.
Here is something French.
Uh-huh.
Here is something different.
Uh-huh.
And as we, as Matt and I have been saying so far, people call it horror because of the content of it.
Yes.
But the context doesn't quite feel horror. Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
Well, this movie sucks.
Don't you love me trying to build it up when I know your answer already?
Yep. This movie... There are scenes, and when I hear you guys talk about it, right? There's bits and pieces of this movie. No pun intended.
Are
are they cooked? Stop it. That in isolation, you go, that's a pretty cool scene, right? The thing that you talk about with the finger, you go, because that's the first time she really leans into it. You're like, this is the right kind of weird. And then there's a scene after with a hospital, and you see the sister's reaction, and you're like, wait a second. Something here is off. But by the time the movie ends, and it's not a long movie, the journey that you're taking on is so stupid. That my ability to suspend my disbelief, like they push me too hard for too long.
So by, hold on.
By the end of the movie, I was just like,
is there a minute where if we had stopped, you would have been on board? And it,
there was.
Well, there is. I mean, I think, I don't know if this is what you're referring to, but there is this assumption at the end that neither girl has ever seen their own father with his shirt off.
Yeah.
which I was like, even at the time, I was like, how is that possible?
He's been told specifically how to act in life, and he knows, like, to be afraid.
Can you imagine the things you would think if your father never let you see him without his shirt on?
I assume, like,
the amount of running around hiding behind doors you'd have to do to, like, make that happen.
Always knock. You tell the child that from earlier. Always knock.
Yeah, from a baby. Yes.
There's a, like, in the second half of the movie, there's a scene where they throw paint on her. And they're like, you two don't come out until this is green. I went, that's a pretty cool, it's a pretty cool visual and a pretty cool statement. You're like, oh, I see what you guys are doing here.
Dumb college things.
Yeah. And then there's an incident after that, and you're like, all right. And then from that point on, the movie just, like, it was a slow build. And then after that point, they're just like, listen, this movie has to end sometime, so we have to speed this along. And the entire time, my brain was just like, all right, Damien.
Andrew, pick this movie.
All right, cool. And it didn't help on my second viewing, but repeat viewings of this. Because then, like, on the second viewing, because you know where this movie is heading, the first half of the movie just feels throwaway. It's like, what are they trying to prove with all of this part of the movie? She going to school and the hazing, like, none of this is important. You guys could have started somewhere in the middle and just made this movie a half hour. Let's just sprint to the end.
Sprint to the biting.
Yeah. Like, this movie, it's not scary because that wasn't its intention. And there's a lot of cutting into animals and people. And I saw that and I went, I guess a movie. But the entire, like, I wasn't impressed or enthralled by this movie at any point. With the exception of the first time her sister dives into the road. And you're like, what is happening here? But once you see how that concludes, you're like, I know where the rest of this movie is going. If this is where we are now, then this movie can only end one place. And it did, but I'd have preferred if they tried hard to have, like, some outsider come and realize what these people are doing and murder all of them. But
you wanted Van Helsing in the movie?
Yeah, basically. But that's not what.
Why do you hate cannibals so much?
I'm a anti-cannibal activist.
Damien, you're racist.
Sorry, I'm a men's rights activist.
And there's no right way to enter that sentence.
Yeah, of course.
No, in this context, yes.
What? Oh, you idiot.
So guys, first of all, let's recognize that...
it's French.
As many times... Well, it is French. Mm-hmm. But as many times it's true, Damien is wrong.
Yes.
Right? This movie is awesome. Nope. This movie is great. I love this movie. Incredible. And actually, I love it even more the second time I watched it. Because... there is a bit of a reveal in the end of this movie, and it's kind of like watching, say, Fight Club for the second time, and knowing to look for certain things.
That certain people are setting her up in a certain way, and they know what's coming. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but there's a joy there. That's the problem.
But wait. But Fight Club makes sense. Makes sense is probably not the scale we need to lay this on. Correct.
Right, but Fight Club is so awesome.
So is this.
No,
I'm not saying this movie is Fight Club. Don't get me wrong, but I think this idea of that it doesn't quote unquote make sense, that is overrated. As far as I think, it makes good sense in the moment, and the fact that you can look at it afterwards and be like, well, I'm not sure that could have happened. Is that really the point? Like,
exactly. It's just kind of being put in a situation and deciding, you know what, this is a fake story, as we love to call it, Damien.
Yeah.
And how far are we willing to go? And I was willing
honestly, guys, this is what is wrong with one of the many things that is wrong with the internet. I saw an article in maybe The Guardian or somewhere the other day that was like 11 big mistakes or like 11 things that couldn't possibly have happened in Wonder Woman. And it was things like, song wasn't written yet or whatever. Oh, and I'm like, guys, there's a Wonder Woman in it.
I'm usually on your side. Most of this podcast is me chastising the internet for being dumb. Because movies are stupid. The thing is.
But also, I don't know if this song existed. Or if this lady could, deflect bullets. Like, could fly and jump really far. Why are we arguing about? I think it makes enough sense to get away with it. But it's got really cool stuff to say about sort of peer pressure and being a woman away from your family for the first time.
Of this movie that kind of baffled me. There's this one scene somewhere in the middle, and I just couldn't get it. I didn't get where she was, like, under the sheet. It's like, I think it's used on one of the posters.
Right.
And something is, like, hitting her or something, but I just didn't get it. I didn't see the before and after of how this made sense.
She's going through withdrawals.
Is this where she's having the dream, or is this the scene where she's with the roommate?
Yeah, I think this is right before she gets out of the bed and then goes into the scene that Damien was talking about with the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's all supposed to be part of the hazing.
Yeah, possibly.
I think it could be. Yeah,
it didn't feel like it was clear that was hazing. Like the paint thing, you know what's happening. All the other hazing incidents, you know exactly what's going on. And I don't want to fault this movie because I actually really like this movie, right? So that one scene isn't going to break it for me. But it just seemed weird and out of place as opposed to how, like, I mean, maybe I'll watch it again and I'll see. No, that was like her internal struggle with what was going on or something.
Well, also, if you want to just read it at face value, I decided to because I think I see some of the extra stuff in there that kind of don't make any sense. But I just decided it was people being assholes trying to get her out of bed so that she could go and get paint thrown at her.
Yeah. That's basically how it makes the most sense.
All right.
Because that is what happens in these hazing incidents is they come into your room in the middle of the night and grab you, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, time to go. You're disoriented and let's move.
Has anyone on this thing ever been hazed? Like, you guys went to school
No,
abroad.
I have not.
I'm here because you'd get
like,
shot
I mean,
here.
The dumbest thing is, like, people calling me names, but screw that. That's normal nonsense,
oh, no,
right? Oh, my goodness. I'm so oppressed. Not really.
They called me a bad name.
There was a pretty robust tradition in my high school of at least when I was in the ninth grade of coming at the ninth graders, which by the time I had gotten to 12th grade had kind of stopped happening. Like, we didn't continue to do it. But when I got there, it was happening. The hazing ritual was that they would make you run around the track with a marshmallow in each armpit, and then after you ran around for like half an hour, they would make you eat the marshmallows. Oh. That was awful. I don't really understand it. And the other thing they would make you do is bend down and push a penny on the ground with your nose. I don't know why these things existed, but I know that people chased me and like it was a little bit like in a movie or something. older toughs.
Oh, yeah.
Chase me in the hallway.
Yeah, that hazing thing.
See, it's like, crazy. But my problem is I'm much like, and this is weird, much like racism. I kind of romanticize.
Oh, here we go.
No. I kind of romanticize what it would be like to have someone here. It's like, cause, yeah. I'd love someone to try.
26 minutes, guys. That's how long it took.
Yeah, I'd love someone to try.
Is this like a recurring theme on the show?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I'd love, like... Just
well, listen,
to see what
can,
I do.
Hey,
like, I know what I think I do.
I don't...
And that's probably
I
what
know,
I would
I
end up doing,
I don't really,
but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what it's really like down there, but I know certainly up here, you know, you can pay ladies to do a wide variety of things.
No,
if
not.
This is what you...
No, listen, I've done that many times. That's not what I'm talking about.
That's true. You actually work in the industry.
Exactly.
Right?
I used to work late nights in New Kingston. I'm well familiar.
In the rough streets of New
Kingston. Right, with hazy. This is what we call it. But, like, when I went to... I remember my first year at UE, they were like, oh, no, if it's not to all the first-year students, but if you live on the dorms, there's some hazing. I went, you guys serious? And I talked to one of my friends, and they're like, yeah, the first night, some second-year student came in, and I was like, yo, and immediately got kicked in the face. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds like Jamaica to me.
Yeah, that sounds...
I feel sorry for the second-year student, because what that means to me is, number one, he failed at continuing it by getting kicked in the face. And number two, he probably had it done to him and didn't kick the person in the face.
No, that's right. Didn't realize that he had a way out.
Oh, yeah, you know, you can't do that. Yeah, so, like, the whole concept of hazing, especially in this movie where it is pushed to its most extreme, like, don't really understand because I've never... Like, well, it's a thing that you see in movies, but... I mean, it's movies. Like, I don't
it's
take
weird.
Things
there
that
things,
are in movies
there are things
at face
that
value.
I like you cannot empathize or yeah. Like put myself into that in that position. Hazing is one where I understand it. I've never felt it before, but I can understand that kind of relationship or just so, dynamic happening.
Like,
because people are assholes.
Yeah, I can't see why like people like this movie. It's not a situation where I'm just like.
Oh, we're talking about the movie
right.
Again?
Yeah, we're going back to Raw.
Right.
It's not a situation where this movie is the worst and no one can like it. No, I understand that
because
of the genre.
Yeah.
Right, because it's horror.
Is it
umbrella?
Horror?
The remember I talked about the umbrella?
I don't like this umbrella, right? I really don't like this umbrella.
Would you like to borrow Rihanna's umbrella?
Ella. Yes,
I hate both of you.
Thank you.
I no longer need higher welcome on this podcast. I just need Matt. Matt, we're done with them. They're making
so are we leaving?
Jokes.
Okay. Let's go into another room and I can, yeah, that's good.
Like, when all of
the thing is that
together,
all, here's the thing,
this
Skype conversation will end and they will still be there. So that I, is. Like, you're really, you're cutting off the wrong person in the long run.
That's right. I remember how we're talking about hazing now, Andrew.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're really courting danger. You're playing with fire.
Court.
What's wrong with court?
Such an old-timey word.
Only if you're talking about, you know, courting a lady.
What other reason would you use court as a verb?
A verb?
Yeah.
When you're courting the tennis game.
I'm sorry. What?
Well, you're courting. No, you're courting danger.
When somebody plays Andy Murray, and they realize.
I can't do this anymore.
It's the feeling you feel deep inside when the Williams sisters retire.
You're courting.
Everyone is just so happy they all run to the court.
Uh-huh. They're courting the tennis.
It's called courting.
All right. All right.
They're tennis courting.
Fair right. Enough. Yes. My apologies.
You can also badminton court.
Okay.
But it's not as good as tennis
court. Football court.
No, that's why it's you're tennis courting, and that's why it's 15 love.
Ah! What? Well, this was fun. And it turned me
off.
Go to my ad.
Matt just broke the podcast.
No, I know what Andrew feels.
You feel it though, don't you?
Yeah.
It feels good.
No. That doesn't.
How dare you guys.
But yes, I think we're talking about a movie.
Right. We did at some point.
We did at some point. Mm-hmm. But this movie's awesome. And
Damon is wrong.
Seeing as Damon is fair wrong enough. And Matt is an unofficial member of the podcast, this is Tom approved. Right?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, with all horror movies, it's usually 2 out of 3.
In one way or the other.
Right. I'm glad you guys like it. Yeah. I deleted this immediately.
Was there, it's usually 2 out of 3. Was there dissent on Get Out?
No.
Did somebody not like it?
Dissent.
Because that movie's a home run.
Yeah, that is why awesome. Andrew is picking more horror movies to see if he can
test the waters.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Who's,
I've given up on musicals.
Damien, was it you that said that Raw was like unrealistic and that was one of the problems? Because, boy oh boy, that is the thing I like the best about Get Out. The science is nonsense.
Yeah. Right, and then they lean
it
hard
is
into it.
Literal
like
nonsense. They have the lab in their own house.
Yep.
With the brain switcheroo machine, yep, in the basement. Like, so it's ridiculous. That it
movie,
is good. It's great. But it's like,
slaves.
It's so goofy.
That movie is
turning them into sex slaves.
Yep.
Yeah.
That police scene is, I'll carry that around with me forever.
Which one? The first one or the last one?
The
first one.
No, the
when he goes,
when
to,
he
the
goes
police
to the police
and says, my friend is missing.
Right.
Oh, and she,
right.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And she's like, give me a sec. I need to call some fellow officers.
Because we need help on this
one.
We
need
help.
Uh-huh.
This is a more than one man job.
Sex slaves. like this movie, like the thing is, I'm not big on horror movies. So most of what I see, like, nothing that I see, if you're a horror fan, then you're just going to ignore all the words that come out of my mouth. You're like, oh, of course Damien didn't like this movie. And move on. And I get it. It's just not, like, it's not my thing. Andrew likes musicals. I cannot understand why. Doesn't make any sense. They're all bad.
Oh, I can't wait. We have a good musical, good musical to watch soon.
La La Land, we did that already.
No, it's for the upcoming marathon.
It's coming.
No, I've seen, I've looked at your movies.
Okay.
I haven't watched all of them yet. I'm putting that one last.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. Putting that off as long as possible.
Cool. But moving right on, I think we're all done with this movie, Raw. I think we've all said our piece. Mm-hmm. Pieces.
Is it better than
bits,
Eddie Murphy's Raw? No, it isn't.
Bites. I'm thinking of more tiny things to say.
It is less offensive, though, than Eddie Murphy's Raw, probably.
Was Eddie Murphy's Raw offensive?
Excuse me?
I mean, if I'm laughing, if I laugh, is it offensive?
Oh, man, though.
Right. You cannot create an offense. You have to take offense. So if I don't take offense, then it was not offensive, right?
All
right,
so
right?
We're editing that out of the podcast, right, right, guys?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm right, right? Great.
Oh,
I can't
guys, I gotta go.
So moving on.
Yes.
Or as we do on this podcast. Your singing voice is getting better.
It is.
Thank you so much.
I've had weeks off work. I've been practicing.
You're less surly.
Yeah.
Coming to the podcast.
Oh. Yep. My mother has noticed that. I think she's been trying to annoy me, but it's not working.
Not working.
So I don't have anything to be annoyed about. It's great.
So this is the point of the podcast where I tend to open it up.
Yes.
I tend to say, what you guys want to talk about?
XCOM Zelda.
No, we're not talking about XCOM Zelda.
XCOM Mario.
XCOM Mario.
No?
No?
I will say, I don't have any context because I'm not a gaming guy, but there are some truly disturbing stills online from that new Mario game.
Oh, all right.
Like some real fucked up nonsense. Some
yep.
Crazy. What is happening?
Mario Odyssey was announced at E3. That's happening right now.
Yeah.
And it is freaky what they've done in
What is the idea? They have turned him into a weird wax version of a human being.
So what's happened now, what they've done with Mario is, on top of the jumping and all the other things that go on in Mario, they've said, what if his cap was able to possess things? So in order to play the game, a Billy Bullet will come at you, and you throw your hat, and now you have control over the Billy Bullet. You throw your hat at the pole, and now you're on the pole. And it looks insane. I don't know if I'm actually going to play this game, because so I don't have a Switch. Exorcist. Right, yeah, it's okay. Mario Exorcist. So basically. So what I want to ask the developers at this point is Mario a normal guy that's been possessed by this hat and trapped in his body?
And then this is his... Maybe he's trying to escape by throwing the hat at things.
Maybe it's like It Follows.
the hat in this case is the It.
It's like It Follows in reverse.
Does Mario have agency in his own story?
We'll find out. You know, Mario Odyssey 2018.
Yeah, E3 is going on and video game stuff is going on, which excites me to no end, but Douglas doesn't play video games.
The basketball is over. What I will say about video games is that I was quite surprised to hear one Andy Zaltzman spend about 20 minutes talking about Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. About the delay in Red Dead Redemption. And then started making up new video games and why they were delayed.
I want to meet that man.
Oh, the Bugle, that podcast is great.
Any day I have the chance to go out to one of his Satirist for Hire shows, I'm going to definite. I want to see him more than I want to see a Premier League football match at this point. And that is disturbing. That I've lived long enough
sense of,
for
there's
that
something
to
wrong with our sense of humor, you know. If all that you need to do to satisfy us is just do a shitty pun run.
Yep,
that's it. Just 10
are special.
Puns.
Yeah. Puns are the worst. They're the worst thing that the English language has. I like that. So I didn't mean to talk about video games. I didn't want to talk about video games. Is there anything you guys want to bring up? Matt, is there anything you had on your mind recently?
You guys may have already talked about this because it's been out for a little while, but I caught up with the Guillermo del Toro series on Netflix, Troll Hunters.
I have not. I haven't seen
it. Has anybody watched it?
No.
Here's what I found out post watching it, and I will say it is it's tremendous. Troll Hunters is the number one kids thing on Netflix.
Oh wow!
Worldwide, the most watched, most successful original show for kids that they've ever had. I was really shocked. It's a massive success for them, which is and really cool, like a really, really neat show. It looks like $1 million. Looks as good as any big CGI cartoon film might look. It has real scale in it. And it's got really good voice performances. It's kind of sad because Anton Yelchin's, like, that's his last thing.
That's the only thing I know about that show, by the way.
Yeah, so but it's, you know, like always, he's really good in it.
Yeah.
It has really great characters, and it's got some of the most, like, really delightful action direction in it that I've seen in anything in a while. It's a really layered mythology kind of show. I think you get to a point in your life where you're like, man, I just don't need any more big mythologies. I don't know if I can cram another, you know, like I've got Lord of the Rings in my head now and, you know, the DC universe and Marvel and like, those are big mythologies. I don't want another one. Then I get this one. I was like, yeah, give me more of this, more of this.
Nice. Oh, Guillermo del Toro. Like, guys, do we need to get into how much I hate Guillermo del Toro now?
I mean, you haven't seen his best work.
No, arguably, his only potentially good work is how I would put it.
Fine, but it's so good. It's so good that it justifies all the, like, everything that came after it. You just go, as your reward for giving me this one piece of cinema, you can keep putting out trash. But it's the thing with
Of course, you're. Guy's name. Of course, you're talking about Blade 2.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
That is the only good thing he's ever made.
It's the thing with,
yeah.
Like...
Of course, you're talking about Mimic. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Bay put out The Rock.
Bad Boys.
Oh,
2.
That is a great film.
Armageddon.
Mm.
And Bad Boys 2 is the best movie of all time.
I don't know what that one.
And we have simply ignored him while he puts out
yeah, horrible things.
But Transformers trash for the rest of his life. And that's fine. Yeah. Like, he can't take back the good movies that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Pan's Labyrinth is so good. It, like, it's...
And I don't know what
you
it
love
is.
The falls. I don't I understand how come you have so been to Pan's Labyrinth.
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's one of those things, right?
It's
so I've probably
film.
Watched, I feel like I've
it's
watched
beautiful.
Every one of his other feature films
yeah.
and hate every single one.
And that is okay.
And I know
Gypsy
that there's
Danger.
Something wrong with, okay, I have, whatever the hell that is.
That's the one with giant robots.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pacific Rim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you love Pacific
so,
Rim.
So, that movie is so good that I always forget he directed it.
I watched that movie again recently, like within the last year.
Yeah.
That movie is
it's
dumb.
Bad.
It's so dumb.
It's horrible.
It's so bad.
The acting is poor. The
every part of it.
Every part of
but
the movie
But I still
is bad.
Love how dumb.
But that movie is so it's, good.
Listen, at a certain point, giant robots are monsters.
Yeah.
I hope to their god, Ron Perlman, never dies. Because he just makes things better for me. He knows how to... Do what he does right.
I mean, that Idris Elba speech is too good to be in that bad movie.
First.
But it's fine, yeah.
But, alright. Troll Hunters.
Yes. No, I'm glad you
well, now well, now I feel like you guys are going to dislike me.
What? No, I like... No, no. Douglas is the only person here that doesn't like
Guillermo del Toro.
Everybody else is correct in actually liking him.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, Douglas is high and drunk.
All the time.
Oh, all right.
And welcome.
Okay. Sorry, there's one thing I think I want to bring up. And it's the usual thing where I expect no one to care.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comic book.
Damn it.
It's a comic book that just started, and I think you, Damien, mm-hmm. will enjoy it. Here's one panel from it. It's called Jimmy's Bastards. It's a new comic book. Only one issue is out so far. Came out today. That we're recording this. And it's a Mark Miller comic book where he's basically making a James Bond joke of a comic book. Like, everything that people have hated about James Bond, all of the bad action, the sexism, the racism as it relates to, like, just, oh, we have to make brown people bad people. And, like, it's amped up to ridiculous satire. And... It is hilarious, as I've just read this one issue.
What's it called?
Jimmy's Bastards.
Ah.
Right? Like, from the cover alone, right? You can see that it's James Bond he wanted to make. And it's, like, I saw people writing about it before the week came up when they were... I tend to read a couple blogs, like, just telling me, hey, these are some comic books you might like, because... Up to a couple of years ago, I wasn't really reading that much. So outside of Spider-Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, I don't really know. I didn't really know that much. So when it comes to all of these outside of those superhero stories, I tend to read them to be like, guide me somewhere new. And this was one that was recommended to me and one that I'll recommend to you guys.
But it's a comic book and I'm an adult.
Are you? How many times have you read Preacher?
That's not fair. Listen. Preacher is starting back, so I need...
To reread all
right,
of Preacher.
I need to know what happened. Preacher is every bit as good as Lord of the Rings, okay?
And you haven't gotten around to Sex Criminals yet?
No.
Sounds like that should be a Michael Jackson song.
I'm now singing that song yep. with Sex Criminals in my head. Thank you very much. He's a...
You've been struck by.
That's not a good song.
Criminal.
That's not a good song. Don't sing that song.
But we have the rights to that song.
They actually make jokes in that comic, Sex Criminals, where they'll have songs in there And then they'll stop and blank them out.
Right.
And say, we didn't get the license to this song, so we can't actually put this song, but you imagine the melody to song name and just redo their lyrics or it's blanked out. I think one in there that they made a joke about was Fat Bottom Women. And I don't know whether they could or couldn't, or if it was a problem, but the joke itself is good enough.
Yeah, right? No, they probably just did it as a joke. Like, it's not a problem. Like, writing the lyrics to a song is not performing the song.
Right. So they'd be fine.
Andrew, listen, the problem is, if I start reading comics, right, even if they're good, at some point when I have a female company over, and she realizes that I read comic books. What happens after that? Like, if I were married, then I could just double down.
What do you say? She's trapped.
You said, or for worse.
This is worse. This is worse. Comic books, that's worse.
But as an unmarried,
like, I'm,
as a filthy
unmarried. I'm enjoying the idea that you think that once you're married, that's it. Ironclad deals, you can't get out. You are... You are in for a disappointment. I can, guys, I'm married. I can treat her like shit.
No. It's not about treating her poorly. It is about her having a lesser view of me in her mind.
Right? I understand. Either way, what I'm saying is you are playing with fire.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it done many times.
Playing with fire? You've seen people play with fire?
I've seen men pivot hard after they get married. Wow. I've seen the transformation. And while I won't take it that far, at least there'll be some leniency.
But so what you're saying is you'd at least read comic books.
You're saying,
yeah.
You're saying it's like me and you with Logan versus Douglas. Me and you liked it so much that by the last part,
right,
we were like, yeah. Yeah. We live with it.
Yeah,
but Douglas hated it from the. So basically, you're afraid that Douglas's Logan is the woman you're with,
right?
And she hasn't made the decision to like you yet.
All right, you see, I mean, he's not employed right now. He's not in great shape. He watches a lot of movies
and comic books,
but he seems all right.
And then all of a sudden, you change across to an X, and you're just like, ah!
I can't do this. Sports and comic books, I can't. He's a child, I can't.
I continue to enjoy your simplistic view of women.
of everything, really.
Yeah. It's fun, because I live with so many. And I know that the thing I'm saying is ridiculous.
I feel like we started out talking about comic books.
Yes, I know. I'm done talking about comic books. That's Jimmy's Bastards. Go check it out.
I might, except I don't have a
tablet.
My tablet doesn't work.
I mean, you have a phone. You can
don't do that. Nope, I used to do that at one point. It's not worth it.
Turn your monitor, landscape.
But speaking of comic books, can we talk about how much I really want to hate the Black Panther movie versus how just goddamn good that trailer is.
Wait, let's start with your premise. Why do you want to hate Black Panther the movie?
Oh boy. So
we're at the 49 minute mark. That's the next timestamp.
That's that sizzle.
But first off, he can go fuck himself in that Avengers Captain America movie.
He was awesome in that Captain America movie.
He was not, right? He was not important to me.
Yeah.
But I have a fundamental issue.
What's the fundament?
Right, with comic books as movies.
Just how dumb the title of this goddamn
comic
movie
book is.
And comic book is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the Black Panthers.
You had to remind me that he was black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Black Lightning, Black Panther, like,
I'm not watching that Black Lightning.
Of course not, yeah.
They were written.
I know!
When racism was racism.
But I just look at the titles and I'm like, nope, can't like that on principle.
It's about Iron Fist.
And then,
is that how you felt about. Is that how you felt about Wonder Woman? You're like, you have to say Wonder Woman? I already know she's wonderful.
Right.
You don't have to
remind me. I know he's a man.
Me.
Why does it have to be Batman? Fair enough. Could just be Bat. Or Super.
But either way, that trailer is so good. I know you don't watch trailers anymore, but have you watched it, Dana?
People keep telling me, and I'm going to continue to ignore them.
Oh
until you watch it at the theater.
I hear that there's like they're basically future world inside of Wakanda,
pretty much.
Which some Jamaicans still don't know is not a real place. By
the way, well, no, but clearly it's Zamunda. It's right? Like the capital city of Zamunda. Yeah.
Right. Right. There's still people who
I saw people make jokes when why can't I remember? Is Michael B. Jordan appeared in that trailer and said,
for a half second,
"That's African Super Saiyan."
Okay.
And I couldn't stop laughing. He stole Vegeta's armor. Oh my God. But that joke is for me and Damien.
Yep.
I apologize to everyone who had to hear that and go.
Listen, everyone watch Dragon Ball Z. Like, it is like Dragon Ball Z is basically porn at this point. Everybody's just like, "I've never seen it. I don't know what you're talking about." But they've made so much money, it only stands to reason that the whole world has seen it. I hear that the trailer is good, and that's all the information I need.
And it's just things like just the color scheme of that trailer, the crazy, outlandish, almost Fifth Element level costumes. It's just great.
But it's the thing, like I was talking to Andrew earlier, and we were talking about it's video games for a second, but then it switches back to movies. Last year Uncharted came out, and people said it cured cancer, right? It was so good. And I'm playing it now that a year has passed, and it's a good game, but I can assure everyone, certainly didn't cure cancer. And with Wonder Woman...
So, just for all of you guys not seeing what's happening here and why the podcast just broke, Andrew decided to show Damien a screenshot of the said trailer with Michael B. Jordan in his outfit.
Super Saiyan. And I was talking to him too about, like, we saw Wonder Woman basically the week it came out. But since that point, the internet has now decided that it is the benchmark that all movies should follow because it is the bestest movie of all time. And that is the reason why I'm not afraid to watch the trailer, because the entire internet, after that trailer came out, the whole internet was like, yeah! And I can't deal with it. When the movie comes out, I'll go watch it. I know I'm going to watch it, right? Because that's what all movies are now. They're just comic book movies and John Wick. And that is fine. I've accepted my lot.
There are also Scorsese movies from time to time.
Oh my gosh, Matt, have you seen those?
Those won't come in our theaters.
Silence.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, forget these guys.
I stopped listening 10 minutes ago.
Once again, we expect this.
It's about right.
You're still an honorary member. You can't get it revoked.
Have you That's seen fine. The trailer, Matt?
For which one?
Black Panther.
For the Black Panther? Yes. I thought we were talking about Scorsese for some reason. Yes. Yes. I've seen the Black Panther trailer. It is, now, I will admit, I have only watched it once because I try not to watch the trailers, pretty much.
Yeah.
I really do think, like, if I have decided that I am seeing that movie, then I don't need to be advertised to.
Yeah, makes right? sense.
So I try not to. But yeah, it's very impressive. And I think my only complaint is not enough Lupita Nyong'o.
Is that this year?
No, it's next year.
Next year.
That got me really
next
upset.
February?
I don't know.
Now, what's first? Early. Is it first or is Thor Ragnarok first?
Thor is November. And
okay.
Black Panther's next year. So
Skuck's Life.
That's right, Skuck's Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
It chose
Thor
me.
Lives a Skuck's Life.
Yep.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just trying to see how long we can go, you know, with this.
The staring contest?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Pretty much.
So that's that. But most importantly,
yes.
There's a pineapple comes on this podcast from time to time in which we discuss dancehall songs and I try to pretend you guys don't exist as you talk about dancehall. because this week you guys are going to talk about what song. What's the song this week?
Oh, Ellie, the energy god.
Energy god has seen enough dance before.
But not one like this.
So I have to say, I sent an email to Matt saying, this is a show format, generally what we're going to be doing. And we also tack on the segment where we talk about dancehall. And this is a song that we'll be talking about for your episode. And Matt sent me a response going, I've never heard dancehall before. Do I have to stay for that section? And I went, I'd like you to, but... if you're on... And Matt said, I'm down.
Matt, have you heard? I'm just going to preface this because I've been trying to be cool, but here's what's about to happen.
Yes.
My entire amount of you know, poorly hidden racism is about to come way out.
Yes. Just
really come flying out because I am going to sound so ignorant. I know some stuff about reggae, but I know nothing about dancehall at all.
Well, it's good because Pitchfork called it dancehall reggae, so you're halfway there.
I was about to say, no, you're full way there. You're further there than Pitchfork,
right?
Because you know that there is a difference between reggae and dancehall.
Between reggae and dancehall? Yes, I do. That's true. I do know that. Yes, and that much was clear just from listening to that song.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That is clearly not right.
So okay.
I know that much. I know. You're cheap, pretty young, just in the tank. But the new dog, you know, we people are cool. Give them a run, John. Give them a run. Give them a run, me and the girls that have fun. Both. Give them a run. Give them a run. Give them a run, me and the girls that have fun. I've seen enough dance before. Yeah. But I've never seen a dance like this. Uh-huh. I've seen enough dance before. Yeah. But I don't wanna come top the list. All right, lava, lava. Them a get tall and can't bother. Yeah. When the music hit him, him drop weed and grab a bust the dance from the river to the bank, me brother. Uh-huh. Love how the dancer them a live together. Well, everybody ball out, say what a dream team. John Bogle keeper and the dancer queen. Up in the video, you have to bling and clean. Hot Mondays, everybody a roping. Fire links, take the dance and go show team. Yeah. When you say you love the dance,
you guys say all the things about Elephant that we all know because we grew up here. I want to hear Matt talk about having heard this song for the first time. What did it do to your ears?
Well, so first of all, it is very dumb. Well, just lyrically, I mean, it's intentionally dumb. I get that, but it's very dumb for sure. But that was fine. What else can I say about it? It's also like, and I watched the, I didn't just listen to it. I went to YouTube and I watched the video, which starts with them taking calls with that really goofy white dude that's on the right, who's taking the calls and yelling stuff. Whoever that is he in the group? I don't know.
It is not a group.
Guys, I feel like I feel like a very old man.
That's not your fault. I can only imagine the first dance song I listened to.
Imagine if right now was the first time you heard dance song at your age.
Right. Oh, I'd never like it. I hate it to death.
Right?
Like, I feel like this is a genre you have to have nostalgia for.
You have to
otherwise,
be born.
You're never going to love
it. It's the thing that Bane said, right? You cannot adopt the dark. You have to be born into it. You can't come into it after the fact. It's too late.
So, Ponder River, Ponder Bank.
Oh my take gosh. I think this was like the second huge Elephant Man song. Because the first one was Lager.
Yep.
Sorry. This would be the third because the second one was online. You logged on and then you were on. So man, I just need to take you through the history. Of this saga.
Give me the background. I have no idea what's going on contextually in that song, other than they are having a really good time, I will say that.
Yes, they are. So this song is not just a dancehall song, but let's call it a dance song. It literally, Ponder River, Ponder Bank is a dance, and he is singing about the dance.
Okay.
And that is essentially... This guy pretty much made a career out of that, but that's just a big subgenre of dancehall, right? But this guy, Elephant Man, he was around...
And is that usually... Sorry. Does that usually happen after the dance exists for a while?
No.
Or does the song create the dance?
So the song is... The songs are usually made with the dancer who developed the dance in mind.
Yeah.
So it's like
the twist.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
So Elephant Man is the twist, Jamaica's twist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. It's like that. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Well, now I get it.
Everyone who hears this.
That is scary. So we have now equated dancehall with, old time rock and roll.
Yep. Chubby Checker,
there you go.
I was trying to remember who sang the twist. Thank you so very much. I could have googled it.
That's like a Jeopardy question.
I don't think I've ever looked up who sang the twist. Like, I just know the song.
But the two come together. Like, that's the only reason I know who Chubby Checker is. Because he did the twist.
So, come on, baby.
Pond the River. That's
Come on, baby, Pond the River. Okay. So, Elephant Man is a special, special man. He'd been around like a while with Scare Them Crew.
Yes.
I remember this time well.
Yes,
Do you know why I remember this
why
time?
Is that?
I remember because I have a dumb Elephant Man story that you should know.
All right, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told Damien this. So, lived here. Very long time. The guy who used to live across the street from us was Delano from Renaissance.
Yes.
Right?
Who is, by the way, he's a big DJ here. Yeah. And that's actually what a DJ is, what we call DJs in dancehall. So he spun records.
And so all of the dancehall people used to show up and go. And one day as a youth, I was like, I don't even remember how old, somewhere between 9 and 12. Mm-hmm. Right? I was out in the yard playing cricket with my friends. And up runs Elephant Man in the height of his
powers
and just saying, yo, me want a bat.
That
and
sounds like Elephant Man.
We gave him a bat. Mm-hmm. A couple hours later, I come back home to get some food or whatever to see my mother just concerned, looking at me and saying, someone came to me and told me that you were playing cricket with a crack addict. And ever since then, I've never forgotten my Elephant Man story.
That is glorious.
No, I do not remember that last bit.
That takes a story over the top.
Yeah, it does.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it does. But Elephant Man has made his living off of just dumb jokes and dumb dance songs. And I think the best joke that really just embodies Elephant Man are his first two big solo songs. The first song was Log On, which was, of course, a song about a dance called Log On. And don't ask me, I don't know who comes up with this rubbish. Why would you name your dance Log On? But that's what it was. And
why do you name your dance Bogle?
Fair enough. At least that was somebody's name, and he's like, this dance is so good, I'll name it after myself. Mm-hmm. But then...
How do you know that the dancer in Lagan wasn't called Lagan?
Fair enough.
Okay.
So, he started off with Lagan. Now, what do you follow up? What is your next hit if your first hit was Lagan? Of course, it's Online. Mm-hmm. Because...
It's about time.
It's about time. So his second hit, the name of the song was Online. And then this, I think, was the third big one off of that album. It was in that time around, say, 2003 and 4 when he got real big.
Yep.
He even broke into the US, the American markets a little bit.
Signal
the Plane, right. But,
oh my goodness.
This song, Pond the River, is spectacularly dumb. I think Matt, you've got some great insights there.
Oh, thank you.
And
you can just tell, like, even just the way that video is shot, you can just tell, like, those guys have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely not. But
they're really copying a whole bunch of, like, pretty shitty hip hop video tropes, right?
Yeah,
sounds like Jamaica dancehall to me.
Yeah,
accurate.
And the one thing that I have to tell you, I love about Elephant Man, because it's hard not to love Elephant Man. I don't know anybody who does.
He's called the energy god for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But no matter how bad his songs are, and they can get real bad. No matter how dumb his songs are, and as you've heard, they can get real dumb.
Spectacular.
He always just gives off this vibe like he's just enjoying himself.
He commits
to the fullest.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's
yeah.
committed to the fullest. And there's a charm to that that you just
there's a
can't ignore.
Like, it feels whimsical. He's so happy doing what has to be the dumbest thing anyone has ever done. I had to learn all the dances that Elephant, because it was at the time where your friends would go out, and mm-hmm. so you had this song was so popular that you had to know that, because they'd play it at a dance and you couldn't be that jackass standing there not knowing the dance. And the dances range from so simple as to be pointless. Mm-hmm. Like, this, the dance for this song is literally...
Aren't you, like, rowing the boat?
No, that's another one.
Which one is this? I can't remember.
This one is the one where you stand on
you
one foot.
You put in your foot in the river.
Right. You basically put in one foot in and then put in one foot. That's basically
what... You remember...
Are you talking about the
the hokey pokey? That's yeah. what it is.
Are you talking about the hokey pokey?
You remember Robin Hood, Men in Tights? You know when they get to the bridge and... Dave Chappelle is like, you're on one side, you're on the other side. That's the part of the river.
Yeah, that's the dance. That's
just jumping between
the
sides of the...
And then it went from... So there's those that are so simple. You're just like, this is just exercise at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have some that are so mind-bendingly complicated. They're just like, listen, I didn't go to... Edna Manley School of Arts, I cannot can't do this. And it's a tradition that continues
it
to
continues
this day.
Today. Yeah.
There's a song right now that is popular called Gas.
Oh,
and it is my
mm-hmm.
favorite. Have you heard it?
I've never heard it.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to perform the chorus for you. Gas! Gas!
Yeah.
Gas!
Gas!
Gas! Gas! Gas! More gas! Gas! Yeah.
So is he telling the taxi driver just more gas? No,
right.
Yeah.
Go on with the road. Go on with the
Yeah.
And
the song is horrible.
Like, you can't see the dance because you're not on the part. But feel free to look it up. I'm going to show it to Andrew. You put your hands out like it's a bike and you basically rev and you go lower and lower. And that is the entire show. And I love dancehall for that. And Elephant Man was the king of all of that. Like, he was one of the few people that I would see him on a poster, and it wouldn't matter who else was on the poster. If it was people I've never heard of in my life, I would go, because I know that at least for 45 minutes, I'm going to be entertained to the fullest, because Elephant Man doesn't allow you to stand idly and watch him on the stage. He's jumping up and down the entire time.
Oh, I've seen
forces
him.
Forces you to jump up and down the entire time. And it is...
He's a lunatic.
Yeah, it is.
He's doing backflips off like the fourth speaker up.
He was part of the... he kind of started daggering.
Was that him?
Yeah.
What is daggering for Matt listening on the other side?
Please. Help your white friend. Please.
I'll have you Google that.
Yeah.
You need to find that out. Just go into YouTube and type
dancehall daggering.
No, just type what is daggering.
Okay.
And it is going
actually,
to be spectacular.
Would that actually give you an answer?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm afraid it wouldn't give you a Jamaican answer.
It is good. What you get is close enough.
Daggering. And, okay.
Oh, wait, no. It's there.
Yeah.
It's on top.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
And very
illustrative. Actually, Google actually helped out. Like, you know, Google likes to do as you're typing in,
right.
What should I do? And it fills in with your day-to-day
right.
or whatever it suggests, I started What Is Dagger, and I was filling in with a girl.
Listen, I have to be clear to specify. Listen.
Yes.
When I was in Trinidad, the first carnival came up, and like, sadly, I worked in an office where they made me work during carnival, one of the few.
First.
And I was like telling people, yo, I'm going on the road to go get some food. And carnival was happening, all of us. So they're like, yo, Andrew, just remember, no dagger in here. Couldn't stop laughing.
That's pretty good. We're known far and wide for our dagger in prowess.
I'm afraid that midway through this, Matt will just break out in laughter because he's Googled what is dagger in and he's on the other side.
No, I'm using my phone to talk to you guys. I can't. You actually have me at a huge disadvantage.
Very good.
You'll find
out. But rest assured. But later I will laugh.
I expect find out what the hell some you're crazy about. Messages in my Twitter.
Yeah.
Right. I expect Matt to like totally unfriend us. He's like,
that's
he's
what they do in Jamaica. Nope. Blocked.
Can't. Won't.
Is there anything else we want to talk about with this god, this energy god?
Elephant Man's the best. And you should listen to all of his songs.
Except
at
those.
Very high volumes.
Right, here lies my question, because maybe it's because of my disconnection to dancehall at this stage in my life,
yes,
where I don't know what's going on now, like how you mentioned gastronomic, I don't know what that is. But when I hear Elephant Man, I think of these songs of this moment, yes, right? Pond the River, Signal the Plane, all of those.
Okay.
What is his last hit? Latest hit of this? Does he still do these songs, or is he just performing
he's
all of
going,
these songs every
I don't
time?
Know if he's not huge like, the way he used to.
Yeah,
be.
I know he's not huge, but like, is he still making any of them?
Like, he had to hand over the throne of Energy God at some point because he fell ill, and once his body wasn't able to keep up with the thing that made him popular, it like him standing on a stage.
So is he like
songs.
Singing ballads now?
No. He's still singing the songs. But there's, instead of him
popularizing the
songs, there's just people in the background dancing and no one wants to see that.
Okay.
But, so what he's basically doing, yeah man, aww, he's been sick for a while.
Oh no.
Because this is Jamaica, everyone immediately assumed it was AIDS. Because we're terrible people.
So you're saying we're stuck in US in America 80s?
No, we're just terrible people. And, but I think he's touring. He's been touring for a long time.
All right.
Google is incorrect.
I was just curious because, you know.
But this song definitely needs to be on the list.
That's who I played cricket with.
Yep.
That picture. So I think we can move. We can sign off from
yep.
here.
Yes.
Matt, you were asking so many questions about Daggerine and all of these things. How have you felt now pre this conversation, where you were just bemused and confused by whatever Elephant Man was doing in the song, to know after, with us helping our white friend?
Well, I certainly feel like you've schooled me. I feel good. I feel like I've learned. I've learned something valuable, and that, you know, this has been a productive waste of time. A hugely productive waste of time.
Yep. I think that should be right on the top.
Yes.
A productive waste of time.
No, a hugely productive waste of time.
That's great.
Man, you've got time, right?
I do, sadly.
And I think that's going to be the end point of the podcast. So thank you so much, Matt, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I still have no idea why this was the one where you needed me, but I'm glad you did. So
because this is where we slept together. That's the thing I'd
oh,
like
that's
to
true.
Think of.
That's true.
I was going to do this whole thing where I ask you whether I snored or not, whether you had to...
No, in fact, I don't... I'm trying to remember, but I don't think I knew you were asleep until after it was over. I think you were quite well behaved.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not the first time
you're...
I said that about you.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's an old, that's like an old Emo Phillips joke. He says, I'm great in bed. I never fall out.
Can I say it? I don't think I've ever heard that one before. Because it's a terrible joke. I think it's hilarious. Leave me alone.
Because it's the first time you heard it.
Like, that's clever. That's want to say that to someone
that is
now.
That's an awful joke. Don't tell
I just watch them look at me blankly.
Listen, you're not. That's a dad ass dad joke.
Then I'll save it. Yeah, exactly. I'll save it.
Right. You torment your children with those jokes.
Like girl asleep. That's a girl asleep level joke.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that movie is so good.
No.
No, so.
I know. Come on.
As always, you can hear Matt over at the Mammo Podcast with his cohort, Matthew Brown.
His cohort.
His cohort.
Yes.
Okay.
Right? His
yes.
His partner in crime.
Uh-huh. His my non-sexual life partner.
Right. Yes. Where he continually talks about his music hall event that I continually feel annoyed that I'm not at.
I'm always upset about that.
we watched Sweet Charity on the weekend and it was great. Really good. And then we get The Bandwagon coming up.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
I know, me too. It's
great. I've watched that movie at least five times. I played scenes for Douglas.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to tell you, Matt, I'd listen to you talk about like showing Sign of the Times and I'm just like balling up my fists and shouting at the air that I can't go there and watch it.
One of the greatest experiences of my life. We had full theater for that. We had like 350 people.
I saw that movie for the first time the other day, Sign of the Times. Quite like it. It's really good.
Yeah. Like, it might be pretty close, but it's certainly like top three for concert films of all time. There's The Last Waltz and that, and maybe like Stop Making Sense. Like it's pretty close.
Those are the three everyone mentions. I've seen those three. I quite like all of them. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us. As always, Damien is here making fun of me and telling me that I'm an asshole. Douglas, we try to ignore him, but he keeps coming.
Yeah.
I'm always
around. I have the keys to the door, so they can't
open. Right. And you can hear more of this nonsense in which you are wasting your time productively here at Tump over at gmrinterviews.com. Thank you so much for listening. Good night.